we're going to continue in our series looking at Ephesians, this wonderful letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. We're going to be reading from chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. So if you have your Bible, if you'd like to open to Ephesians, and we'll get started. So starting at verse 1. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages we might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of your own work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Wow. Where to start? I'm going to start by saying that this passage and this message is a message of hope, and it's a message of encouragement for the church, but boy, is it a message of grace as well. The chasm between verse 1 and verse 10, the gap almost, the change between the state of us in verse 1 to the state of us in verse 10, is immeasurable. There is nothing that comes close to it. God has grace, and more grace for us. So I want to start by saying that God has grace for us for yesterday. I don't know about you, but me and my mum, we watch a lot of TV during lockdown. Right? And throughout this week, God's been like popping in different TV shows into my head as ways to describe this passage. And the first one is Grand Designs. And I remember, I think it would come on every 8 o'clock in the evening, and me and my mum would sit down and we'd watch it. And every time they would turn up at a property or a piece of land which looked kind of mundane, you know, not very special, and then there'd be a process, and then they'd go back at the end, and it would all of a sudden be this, like, amazing house that's worth millions and millions, and you're in awe of it because you're like, how is it going from being a piece of land, being basically nothing, to being a house that's just incredible and is a piece of work, you know, is an amazing piece of work. People here would probably typically refer to me as a guitar guy, but if you came up to me before lockdown, I was the furthest thing from a guitar guy. I couldn't even tell you the strings of a guitar. I couldn't tell you one chord on guitar. I auditioned for guitar lessons at my school, and I wasn't good enough to get lessons. So you know, so if you've come up to me before lockdown and called me the guitar guy, I said, you're talking about a different person, that's not me. See, we're Christ Church, but we weren't always walking with Christ. We weren't always walking the same way as Christ. In actual fact, we were probably walking the opposite way to Christ. I know I was at one point. You know, we could be referred to as the sons of disobedience because we were disobedient, because we weren't dead from the beginning. When God first made the world, he made it a perfect world. But then evil came into the world. Man chose to go his own way, chose to be disobedient. And we see all throughout the Old Testament signs of people being disobedient, not following God's plans, forgetting what God had done. And then we get to the New Testament, and Isaiah describes the people in the New Testament as walking in great darkness. And I wonder if this nation's walking in great darkness, if this world's walking in great darkness. I believe it is. And I know I was walking in great darkness at one point. Paul starts by saying that we're dead in our sins. And that's how I would have described myself at one point. And that's how we describe the whole of humanity at one point. Dead in our sins. And death basically means, I searched up I'm by no means an expert in Greek. I don't even study Greek, so I'm not going to claim that I know any Greek. So I searched it up because I was just interested to see if there was a greater meaning to it. And essentially, it means either physically dead or spiritually dead. But it basically means being, like, inactive. And I sort of think that when we're not walking with God, we're not stepping into the purpose which He made us to be. Therefore, we're inactive. We're dead. We're hopeless. We got no purpose. We're just walking all over the place trying to search things that make us feel happy, make us feel good. Things that have made us maybe feel worthy to be living on this planet. There's a song I absolutely love. And the first verse goes like this. It says, "I've been told to live my own truth. Do whatever makes me feel good. Get rid of boundaries that rules are stifling. Chase good feelings because soon we'll be gone." And if there was one verse that I would describe how I viewed the world before I met Jesus, before I experienced grace, it would be that. It would be that feeling of doing whatever makes me happy, doing whatever's maybe going to get me a bit popular, and not standing up for what's right, because ultimately, well, soon we'll be gone, so I may as well do what makes me feel happy, what gives me pleasure, what fills my earthly desires. But we're dead to our earthly desires. Our flesh is dead. And that's when I experienced grace from my yesterday. Like so many people can testify, when you're at that rock bottom, when you're dead, and then great, you meet grace. I really love this quote. It says, "Grace is the face love wears when it meets imperfection." And that blew my head away when I read that. Because it all fitted together in my head. Because when Jesus died on the cross, He met imperfection. The cross is the very symbol of imperfection. It's what a criminal would die on. And He met that with love and showed us grace. And by that, we can approach the throne of God. And we can boldly approach that throne of God. So there was grace for us yesterday. There was grace for that past life. We don't need to live in that past life. Secondly, I want to say there's grace for us today. I think so often when we become a Christian, we maybe at that time we're very enthusiastic and we give everything over to God. And then life happens and we start to think, well, we've given over to God once, we can't do that again. We must try to carry our burdens, try to carry the weight of what's going on. I don't know what your week's been like. Mine's has been really busy. And to be honest, if I was trying in my own strength, I would probably be sleeping right now and not be here. That's the truth. That's the honest truth, because I'm not strong enough on my own. I can't do any of this on my own. In actual fact, if it wasn't for the strength of God and for the grace of God, I'd be shaking right now with nervousness, because I'm a very shy person, believe it or not. as much as that might shock you guys. But grace met me, and I remember when I first came to Regents, I got off the train and it was 35 degrees, and I had my guitar and I had my backpack and I had my kind of little suitcase thing, and I had my what else did I have? I had a laptop bag as well, and I was carrying this all. I couldn't find a taxi. I had no idea anyone. I had no idea who anyone was. I was already petrified, so my hands were a bit shaking, and I was carrying all this stuff in 35-degree heat. I got off at Great Malvern Station, because I thought that was the closest station. Found out that Malvern Link was actually closer. So I had to walk 55 minutes up a hill. You know the hill. All the way up that with my stuff. I got into the reception. I put all my stuff down. I can't tell you the relief, because I couldn't hold that stuff anymore. I can hold it. And I think sometimes, if I'm being honest, I try to carry my week. I try to do it in my own strength. I try to say, you know what? I've given all this to Jesus. I can't give him any more. I can't do that. I can't give him any more. So I'm going to try to carry it myself. I'm going to try to carry the weight of my burdens, the weight of my stress, all on my own. And you collapse. You can't go on anymore. You're trying to walk forward into what God has you do, but really, you're kind of stumbling backwards and you end up on the ground because you're trying to carry it all yourself. But we're not called to do that, because we're his handiwork. We're his workmanship, and we're created for good things. But I don't think we get a real revelation of how amazing that is until we experience grace. And we can experience grace today. You can experience grace today. Because I'm sure many of you have maybe been Christians for many years, and maybe there's some of you that are new. Everyone here can experience grace, because we all need grace. Grace once isn't enough. Because I experienced grace, I repent of my sins, I'm not going to be perfect for the rest of my life. There's going to be times where I muck up and I need God's grace. I need God to pull me back in. And you see, for the church of Ephesus, grace was unheard of. There's a temple in Ephesus, which is known as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And in that church, and in that temple, they'd worship a Greek god. And in the Greek religion, and in that philosophy at that time, it was that the heroes went to the good afterlife. Those who were perfect, those who were seen as the heroes that won battles and stuff, they went to the perfect place. But if you weren't perfect, you went to a lower place. You went to the worst place. So when Paul writes and says about grace here, they're probably thinking, what? How? And so I want to say that there's grace for you yesterday, and there's also grace for you today. And there will always be grace for you, because there's grace for you tomorrow as well. Because we don't have to try and fake God and approach God and say, Lord, I'm going to be perfect from now on. I'm not going to rely on you anymore. I'm going to be perfect on my own. We don't need to do that. Because like the song Graves into Gardens, which I think is a really good example of what God did for us. We were broken and helpless, and he turned us into a beautiful work. Right? In that song, it says, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. God, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. We don't have to be afraid to be honest with God. And so if you're here today and maybe you're struggling, maybe you feel burdened down by the weight of what you're trying to carry on, give it to Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins. And you probably know that. I knew that, but sometimes I have to lay it all down again so that I can then step into the good purpose which God has for me. Because we have grace for tomorrow as well. And God has good plans for you. God has plans for this church. I mean, wow. Since I've been here, the amount of grace I've experienced from you guys has been absolutely amazing. You really represent Jesus as a church. I just wanted to say that. We are his masterpiece, his handiwork. We are his. When we actually really understand that we are his, that we are his work, that almost like Da Vinci with the Mona Lisa, It's viewed by millions upon millions of people. Probably everyone in certainly the world that has internet has probably seen a picture of the Mona Lisa. We're viewed by God the same way as that, if not more. And he's created us to do good works. FOMO, the fear of missing out, is been a very prevalent thing recently, especially since COVID. When the world opens up again, everyone's like, we have to go and do all this now. We have to go and explore the world. We have to go and do this now. I want to say that if you're here today and you're maybe afraid of the future, you're afraid of not fulfilling everything that your life has for you, I want to say you don't need to be afraid. Because as verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's prepared where we're going to go, what we're going to do. Way before we were even born. We don't need to have any fear in what the future holds and what we're to do, what we're to eat, what we're to say. Jesus says that. And I want to encourage you that I believe that today he's saying that to you, that we can just trust God. Let God lead us. Let his word be a lamp to our feet. Let us be led by his word. And so every day we're stepping into what he wants us to do for that day. Because he has so much grace for us that he didn't just save us and then leave us to live life. But he actually wants to walk through life with us. The prophet Isaiah describes Jesus as being like the son of suffering. He was acquainted with our grief, a man of sorrows. He can walk through life with you. He can go through the ups and the downs. The Bible says that we don't have a high priest who can't like recall with us, you know, who doesn't understand us, but we have one who's been tempted and trialed in every single way. So we can approach that throne with confidence, with boldness, having received his grace. Because grace has changed everything. And so it's grace, and it's grace, and it's more grace. And wow, I just can't express the grace. I was blown away when I heard Luke's testimony. Because every time I hear a testimony, a story of God showing someone grace, of God showing someone who you could have just chucked out. You know, there's a show called the Repair Shop, where people bring things that are being really tarnished and broken, and God repairs them. Oh, sorry. and someone will repair them and restore them and make them even more beautiful than they were in the beginning. And wow, God does that for us. Because God could have just taken one look at our brokenness, our wrongs, all the mistakes that we have made and all the mistakes that we're going to make. You know, I can't say that I'm speaking every word right of this preach. But I'm believing that God's going to speak through me. And I hope he is. But in the repair shop, they turn things that you'd look at and be like, oh, into, wow, that's really gorgeous. And that could be sold for a lot of money. You are priceless in the eyes of God and you're beautiful. And this church, God wants to use to do good works. God wants to use this church. He's got a purpose for this church. It's his church and he's building it. It's not our church to build. It's his church to build. And if we follow him, if we as a church become humble ourselves and follow him and receive his grace, because sometimes it feels a bit weird to ask God for grace. Because we're Christians, we shouldn't need God's grace. We need to humble ourselves and receive God's grace. And because when we receive God's grace, we also really, truly know that how amazing the turnaround is from and you were dead in the trespasses of your sins, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's greater than winter and summer. That's greater than the weather in Scotland to the weather in the south of Africa. It's so great that there's no words it can really. There's nothing I can compare it to. I've compared it to a couple of TV shows, but even that doesn't give the full picture, because ultimately we deserved absolutely nothing, and God gave it all, and he's wanting to give it all to you again today. And maybe you're here today. I can't lie, I'm awful with names. And there's new faces, which is great to see as well. And there's some familiar ones. But whether you've been a Christian your whole life, or from a young age, or you've just received Christ, we all need grace. We all need a top off of God's grace. If you're worried about what went on yesterday, your past, give it over to God and strive forward into what God has for you. If you're worried about today, about what you're carrying today, give it over to God and receive his grace. And if you're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, give your future over to God and receive his grace, because he died to give you life. So I want to pray, if that's all right. I just pray that you'll really get a fresh revelation of God's grace for you. It's possibly been a bit muddled, but I believe God wants to give you his grace, and God wants to use you to do his good works. And I'm really touched by I was sitting there in that seat there, and I was like, wow, because sometimes we need a reminding of how good God's grace is. And if I'm being honest, I'm not perfect. I sometimes need to ask God for grace. Every day when I wake up, I need to ask God for grace, because every day I need it somewhat or another. So I just want to pray. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your love became grace for us. That your love met our imperfection and showed us grace, that undeserved favor, Lord, that undeserved gift, Lord, you gave for us, Lord. Lord, I just pray for MEC, Lord. I just pray over this congregation right now, Lord, that they'll get a glimpse of how amazing, of how great, of how wide, of how deep your love is for them, Lord. That you're reaching out your hand and you're wanting to give them grace, Lord. You're wanting to take their burdens, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us all to realize, Lord, that we can lay every single piece of ourselves down, Lord. That we don't have to hide a single part of our lives. That we can lay every single part of our lives down at the foot of the cross and receive grace, Lord. That we can receive your load, which is light, Lord, and we can live in your purpose, that we can walk in your light, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, that we have identity, that we have purpose, that we are your workmanship, that you look at us, and no matter how many times we messed up, you still say, I would die for you, and you died for us, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to receive your grace, to hand over our lives to you, to live in the freedom which you bought for us when you died on that cross, Lord. Lord, I want to pray for MEC, Lord. I want to pray that you'll bless this church, Lord. What a blessing it's been for me. What a blessing, Roy. What a blessing so many people have been to me here, Lord. Lord, I just want to pray, Lord, that you'll remind them that they are so important to you. That you love them unconditionally. That you have endless grace for them. Lord, I give thanks to you in all things. And I pray you'll help them to give thanks to you in all things. So, Lord, I bring all this before you, Lord, and I just pray that you'll move in our hearts, Lord, and you'll move in our midst. And as we go into the week, Lord, and maybe things get a bit difficult, Lord, that you remind us all, Lord, that we can receive your grace again afresh. That we can walk with you through the week. And more importantly, that you're walking with us through the week. And it's no longer I who's living, but it's Christ who's living in me. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Amen.